call this Wednesday, October 9th, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I am Chairman Jeff Olson. I'll be presiding over this meeting tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Markham?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Vineyard?
Here.
Hyatt is absent. Millen? Absent. Horez?
Here.
And Williams?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Previous meeting minutes, are there any questions or amendments to the previous meeting minutes from Wednesday, September 11th, 2019?
No.
May I have a motion then to please approve the meeting minutes from Wednesday, September 11th, 2019, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Horez?
Present.
Markham?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Minutes are approved. Are there any citizen comments from the public tonight for any topic that's not on the agenda? All right, seeing as there are none, we'll move on to the next item, which is the public hearing. There are two public hearings scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from the members of the public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before the commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak may be for or against the requests or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding the request being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, state your name and who you represent. You are also asked to sign in at the podium if you haven't already signed in. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, please stand now, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I. State your name.
John.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Well done. Thank you. You may be seated. The order for receiving testimony during the public hearing tonight will be as follows. First, the petitioner will make their presentation. Second, those who wish to speak in favor of the request may speak. And then thirdly, those who wish to speak in opposition to the request may speak. And with that out of the way, may I have a motion, please, to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2019-24, Seal South Incorporated Special Use Permit, and PZC 2019-25, Text Amendment to Chapter 6, Permitted Uses.
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote on motion, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Horez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
All right. The public hearings up for discussion tonight are the following. PZC 2019-24, Karen Larson, on behalf of Seal South Incorporated, petitioner. Is it Seal or S-E-A-L?
It's Seal,
Seal.
Or S-E-A-L.
Okay.
It's an acronym.
Okay. I want to make sure I wasn't messing it up for you.
No, it's
has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting special use permit approval as a commercial trade school providing special education and therapeutic services in a day school setting for grades K-12 within the M1 Limited Manufacturing District pursuant to Chapter 6, Table 10-6-2 of the Yorkville Zoning Ordinance. The real property is located at 109 Beaver Street within the Fox Industrial Park in Yorkville, Illinois. Also up for discussion tonight is PZC 2019-25, United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois petitioner. Is proposing a text amendment to Chapter 6, Permitted Uses. This amendment to Chapter 6 will revise Table 10-6-1, Residential Uses, to identify multifamily dwelling as a special use within the B1 Local Business District. The special use in B1 Local Business District will allow apartment units on all floors of an existing building within the downtown historic commercial core, provided that at least 25% of the overall gross square feet of the building area is utilized for commercial purposes. The downtown historic commercial core, as defined by the comprehensive plan, is bounded by Fox River on the north, Fox Street on the south, Mill Street on the east, and Main Street on the west. Public hearing. Is the petitioner for PZC 2019-24 Seal South Incorporated present and prepared to make their presentation of the proposed request?
Stands for School for Expressive Arts and Learning. And
starting to lose my voice, so I sound that way for a reason. We're here seeking a special use to operate a commercial school. SEAL is a therapeutic school that offers services to students with special needs. This location will be the fourth location of its kind. The SEAL has been operating for over 15 years and has three other very successful locations in Lombard, Romerville, and Woodstock. So they're looking to expand due to the increased need and the demand for different school districts. The school is licensed by the State Board of Education and does offer a full curriculum for students K-12. They accept students from area school districts that have specialized needs that those school districts may not be equipped to handle in-house. And currently, they have students being bused from distances that are creating a situation where they're spending a lot of time traveling around. In support of our application, we have included a letter from the school district outlining that situation and supporting the additional location here in Yorkville, where there is a need that Yorkville students are currently being bused to Romeoville to receive these sorts of services. As I said, it's a full curriculum. They offer individualized plans. They work with the school districts to develop plans for these students, including, in addition, they offer therapy and transition programs, helping students prepare for the workplace and kind of integrate into the community. So it's really important. There's certainly a need for a program of this type. And they do have staff to provide these individualized services. They have approximately one staff per two students that are there. And currently, at the beginning, starting out, we'll have approximately 20 students. In the materials that we've submitted, we have in the second to last page, there's a proposed layout that includes three classrooms, and the last page is what we hope to grow to, with a maximum of 90 students being receiving services at this location.
How many again?
Yeah. Maximum of 90. We're currently around 20 or so. We won't be making any changes to the outside of the building. There's only some plans to outfit the building to meet the needs. As far as the busing goes, you can see in the materials the traffic flow that was provided to show where students will get picked up and dropped off. When I say busing, each school arranges for their own transportation of students to the facilities. Depending on how many students they have, they might bring a Suburban or a smaller bus, so we're not discussing a long row of big, full yellow buses here. And they come for approximately 10 to 15 schools, so there might be 10 to 15 vehicles per day dropping off and picking up in the afternoon. So based on the current layout, we have more than enough space to accommodate that without causing any traffic issues there. And along those lines, we also, under the current layout, we do have sufficient parking to accommodate this. We will be no students driving themselves to school at any point in time. So we have enough space to accommodate the faculty and staff. And some of the proposed concept plans also contemplate areas where we might be able to include additional parking activity in the future. So, I'd be happy to answer any other questions you may have, or anything that might be raised in addition to what we've provided, and also the report that you have before you.
Anything?
I got a couple questions. Is it this, is providing for kids with special needs, correct? the name Arts and whatever it was. I don't know. That didn't say special needs to me. And it's not one of these disciplinary places where you send all the bad kids to keep them out of the population, right?
No, it is not a disciplinary school. It is for students that do require some more attention, advanced needs than the school districts might be able to provide. And again, there's a focus on the transition programs to the workplace and community as well.
This is an all-day operation then? They don't have a few hours here, but they go back to their other school or anything like that?
No, it's a regular full-day program. And Karen, you come in. I'm going to adjust those.
I do want to speak on the first question you had asked. The School of Expressive Arts and Learning, the reason the name is held the way it is because we utilize expressive therapy as our therapeutic modality, which is art, music, and recreation. Many therapeutic day schools have different methods of therapy or therapeutic approaches. Second question, would you mind?
All day.
Oh, yes. I apologize, yes. It is a full-day program. There are, however, students that will leave the building via transportation provided by the districts to attend their home schools. That would be our mainstreaming transition process, which is one of the reasons and one of the most important reasons we would like to move the location to Yorkville for those students so that they can access their home school, the activities extracurricularly, as well as the community.
Not that it matters, but when they get these rides, do they go to the regular school first and be picked up there, or do they go around the house?
They are actually picked up at their residence.
Okay. So it doesn't much matter, I just want to know how it worked. I've seen this building many times. Are there windows in it?
What we've done in the two other locations that required to build out an internal structure and space, we have placed windows on the exterior of the building, and that is our intention.
Okay, because I didn't recall needing a lot of windows because it was...
Yes, absolutely. So our intention is to provide as many windows as possible.
Now, you're going to have them from K through 12. Correct. There's 18 of them, and there's practically 20. There's three classrooms, so.
The initial phase will focus on our mainstreaming junior high and high school students through transition. Elementary will not be accessing the building until our final build-out is complete.
Meaning the other?
Correct.
Sort of, it's going to be like a one-room schoolhouse kind of thing. Yeah. Like I kept hearing my dad talk about.
So initially we'll be dividing the students based on what's appropriate for them socially and academically in that space.
Do you think this space will be able to accommodate growth over time as well?
Absolutely.
Great.
Do you mean growth after the 9 classrooms?
Well, they said they grow up to 9 students. They have 20 now. And we have a number of houses being built. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Sounds great.
That's our goal, yes.
With the washroom situation, will that accommodate 90 kids?
The current washroom situation is being looked at just for the first phase. We will be adding additional bathrooms to the facility, absolutely based on code and code.
That'd be part of the meeting process.
Of course, yes.
Well,
that's my list of questions.
All great questions. Anything else? Is there one present? Oh, hold on, sir.
I have the building adjacent, so can I ask a couple questions?
If you're going to speak in favor of it, yes, you can.
I don't know.
You'd like to ask some questions first?
Information.
Sure.
No, not or against.
Sure. Go ahead. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, number one, where's the profile of the typical student?
The profile is usually multi-diagnosis as far as eligibility. We're an education facility. We're not a clinical inpatient or treatment facility. So they would have emotional disorder, OHI, perhaps ADHD, autism, traumatic brain injury. We serve a number of different disabilities. And typically they're dually, we might have a primary and a secondary.
Now, do you have security because of that second question? What's your security?
So what we have is the supervision for our students is constant.
What does that consist of? Personnel?
Yes. So what we have is we have the 40 personnel, and we're all trained in the supervision, particularly for the students that we're working with. Some students in elementary, there might be a different ratio as opposed to high school. We use a two-way radio system to make sure that there's communication throughout the building, arrival, dismissal, and all of those procedures.
The second thing, you have a layout of the parking, plan view of the parking. If you have 90 students, how many vehicles?
So the initial space is adequate for what we're proposing. We will, however, be submitting plans to provide additional parking on the hard surfaces that already exist.
Have you seen the arrangement that we have now? We share a turnaround.
Yes, and the extent, correct?
Yes.
So
it's kind of made for taking semis in and out of it.
Right.
Then, of course, the jury took semis in and out from the other way. So we don't have a pass-through from your building to ours and vice versa. Do you understand all that?
Yeah. So what you're saying is as your traffic comes in through the easement there, through your entrance,
and then the semi will.
And then they'll come and they'll turn and they'll
it's
turn.
It's like a locomotive.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, they come back out.
Yes.
And so you understand that.
Yes.
And is there a legal documentation for that? Do you know?
We have an easement agreement, yes. And it is clear.
So my function will not change.
Correct.
Well, will you have a plan when you have 90? Can you show that before you?
Oh, absolutely. We would be submitting notes for permitting. Yes.
So all these students come from high school. They don't come from individual.
They do. They won't be parking on the facility. They'll be able to stage and not affect any of the traffic happening on the street. They will all be aligned adjacent to our building on the west side, and they will leave on the east side.
So the drop off is on the west side of the building,
and then they will
travel.
I don't understand that. They're going, the way I describe it, there's only one exit and entrance unless you come through our property.
Yes, and then the easement agreement is allowing us to have an exit via the easement.
Not on our side. No, that's not the understanding. Well, then you come in on your side and
correct.
You come out on your side.
Correct.
Whoa.
They have them entering on the west. They have them entering on the west.
Yeah, this side.
Coming north on the westerly border of the property.
So you're coming, this shows that you're passing through and coming out on our side.
Correct.
That's not the agreement.
Well, there is an easement agreement.
You do not have access to what you show here.
We do have an easement agreement.
We do have an easement agreement.
Pardon me?
We do
for them to leave that.
Not to our property.
Can I ask you where
you are?
What is your property?
Yes.
Where are you?
Where are you?
Oh, he's the existing adjacent building. He's that small existing adjacent building.
The issue is that they have to exit through his, but to get to his, they have
to exit through
theirs.
See, this is our building.
So where are your trucks currently coming in through? Are they coming in over here or over here?
Our trucks come in here, they back into the dock here, when they leave. They leave from the dock, turn around, and go back out.
I see. So they aren't using any of this
here. They come in here. They back in here. They turn around
I completely see what you're saying now.
Yes. So essentially what you would prefer to see is instead of them going out here.
Not prefer.
Well.
We have a legal document.
What I'm saying is if they have an easement, they would have access to
you. They don't have an easement past our place.
Okay. I'm just there.
Absolutely not. We have ownership. We have,
sir, what was your name, sir?
First name is Harv, H-A-R-V. Last name is K-N-E-L-L, Kane Silent.
What's the address of this property?
Pardon me?
What's the address of your property?
201 Beaver.
201 Beaver. As a, the school.
You want to see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, it's very clear.
See, what we have, I donated the land, the dairy, put the concrete in. So this is a turnaround, like a locomotive turnaround.
Yep.
Our trucks come in this way, they back into our dock this way, they leave the dock, they turn around here and go back out. And we have a chain across right here.
I think what Seal South is saying is that there is an easement in place.
No, there is not an easement.
We'll need to take a look at that, because what they're saying is there is an easement
absolutely
in place
not
coming through here.
So there's a copy of the shared access easement agreement in the packet, and I'll just read briefly from it. So it was recorded in 2008 with Kendall County, and the two parties to the agreement, the first party was 109 Beaver Street, which is their property, and the second party to the agreement is 201 Beaver Street.
Which is your property, correct. The name on it is Margaret
Mill.
Yeah, yes. So as it explains on page 4 of 6 of the agreement, on paragraph 2, it says a grant of easement. The first party, the 109, hereby grants unto the second party, which is your property, to its successors and assigns, full and free right and liberty for the second party, the successors and assigns, or in its tenants, guests, and licensees, at all times hereafter, for all lawful purposes connected with the use and enjoyment of the land, to pass and repass along the Meadowvale shared access parcel described above, with or without vehicles, for the purpose of ingress and egress for all vehicular traffic, specifically including semi-tractor-trailer combination within the Meadowvale shared access parcels now owned by the first party, provided that the use of said second party shall not unreasonably interfere with the reasonable use by the first party of its assigned successor or assigned.
I suspect that agreement might be obsolete because that was the first arrangement. The second arrangement is how I describe. So I talked to the owners, the previous owners of Meadowvale.
The first arrangement, you mean, is a first easement, and there's a second
easement? Yeah, we did have
first
an agreement
as
a pass-through, but that changed because we decided to share the ownership rather than an easement.
So there was an initial agreement done May 30th, 2001, and then this one succeeds that. So this was done in 2008. Yes.
It's certainly not my understanding.
So it says in paragraph 1, it says, this shared access easement agreement is intended to and does hereby replace the agreement from 2001.
So, well, I guess I have to get an attorney. And I also talked to Meadowvale because I just talked to the executive VP 3 days ago, and he said the function would not change.
The function of the easement.
This that I described.
Sure.
In and out.
How many trucks are you bringing in a day?
Depending on how much commerce we do.
Sure.
The reason why we didn't do this, because Meadowvale had many more trucks, and they were actually injuring the driveway past our place.
I would think, though, that an education facility would have far fewer trucks than Meadowvale.
I don't want any.
Right, well.
I mean, it's not the agreement.
Well, there is the agreement, though, right? Because if there's an easement in place, that is the agreement.
Are you saying there's a second easement agreement that supersedes?
Well, I'll tell you what. Evidently, you have documentation that I don't have. And I didn't come prepared because I had an understanding with Meadowvale that the operating function did not change. So I was relaxed. I wasn't even going to come tonight.
I can provide a copy of the recorded easement that we have to you.
Okay.
I can provide a copy of the recorded easement to you.
Yeah, well, I'll look with it now.
Sure. And as part of the petitioner is the contract purchaser, and the real estate attorney has been working closely with Meadowvale with respect to this easement agreement, and they're even negotiating.
Now, I've got to get my ducks in a row. I mean, I talked to Meadowvale, and they said, hey, nothing's changed. Because I was concerned because you have a manufacturing facility and you're changing that, so I don't want my function to change.
True.
Well, we have a chain across there, you know, for years.
Sure, at some time they came to an agreement about using it. That's what's been recorded. So at this point, there is an easement.
If there was a new agreement after that one in 2008, we would have got documentation.
I'm going to have to find out. My understanding of the medical bill
you have to file that. So unless there's something after 2008, that's the agreement that's on file.
Otherwise, it's just two people's words against each other.
I understand.
They're asking for a change in the use of the building. So even on that basis, on what's practical, I mean, I would think you would have to consider the change in operation.
You're exactly right.
It's a practical, common sense thing.
There are seven considerations that we have to take into effect before we could grant them, and you're absolutely right. That is something we talk about.
That's the reason for this hearing, to see if your change, how it's affecting the situation.
Yes, sir.
I haven't been approached. I've been blindsided. I went to the executives of Middlevale, and they said, nothing's changed. They promised me that. Now, if they've got a legal place, are they going to sort of jam it down us or not? I mean, I hope not. You know, I would hope the group would consider what's been doing for...
Does the second paragraph cover that?
Excuse me?
His concern? Second paragraph on page 4 or 6?
Yes.
Yes, so it runs with the land. The easement runs with the land. So there's on page 5 of 6, they talk about maintenance, and then it says the parties agree that except for the initial installation expense, all reasonable and necessary costs for the maintenance, repair, upkeep, and replacement of the driveway and turnaround shall be included but not limited to the expenses necessary to purchase and install gravel. And then they've agreed upon that petition.
Gravel as maintenance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that one?
So it's agreed upon from time to time. So whoever the successor owners are, they would agree for maintenance between the two of them.
If the school causes issues for him at maintenance, then he has to pay.
No, they have to come to an agreement between the two owners.
There's no way that even at 90 students, the amount of vehicular traffic.
What it looks like now.
True. But there's no way that...
Look at my street.
They're going to have less. They'll have less than White Oaks. They'll have less than White Oaks. All right, so...
I have a...
Yes, sir.
Please say. You referenced the other easement agreement. Now, this one from 2009 or whatever it is. 2008. It specifically says that it voids the one from 2001.
Right.
Is 2001 the first agreement, and this is the second agreement? Is that everybody's
agreement? Yeah, opinion? Without being, I'm not prepared, but originally, the first one, it was used.
That's what Christy had said, Don.
But the second one has not been functioning. Her trucks do not come to us.
We do not have any trucks. The level of traffic would be, we have approximately 10 vehicles in the morning with students and in the afternoon, but we do not have trucks coming through.
I'm not concerned about trucks, I'm concerned about vehicles. Okay. And even interfering with the semis. What you're doing, you're bringing passenger traffic through an industrial setting.
Yeah, and can I, let me talk about that for a minute. We have two other ways. Lumber facility began in the same nature, and we currently are operating our south location in exactly the same circumstances. So we'll absolutely be working hand in hand with you to make sure that it's not interfering with any of your business activities, and our traffic is able to leave and enter the facility and exit.
But can't you honor our present system of working?
Our impression is that the present system is to enter on the west and to leave on the east. So that's a current agreement that we've been made aware of.
So I want to go back to Middle Bay. They said there's documents attached. I'm just blindsided. I don't think, but if you have 90 students and they come privately and we have semis coming in, you've got an industrial setting and you're going to a completely different setting.
All right. So, I understand. So, we can keep moving on. This kind of got a little out of hand here. Well, we want to go back to the agenda, which is currently, is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor? I know we had maybe started thinking we were going to do in favor, but is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of the proposed request? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, I'm Lynn Dubichak. I'm the Economic Development Consultant for the City of Yorkville. I just wanted to speak to this project from an economic development perspective. One of the things that we do is talk to our existing businesses and our existing entities that are in the community and see where there are needs. So you may be a company and you buy certain things from a certain person and say, oh, well, there's a need for such a thing. In this case, our school district has a big need for this type of a facility in school. So, as you see, you've got the letter in your packet. So I wanted to bring that to your attention as something that is very integral in trying to come up with other businesses that we'd like to locate to our community. Also, I wanted to speak to the 40 jobs. This is going to be creating 40 jobs. That building has been vacant for about a year, so it's a nice job creator. Also, this is a for-profit school, so sometimes when you hear the word school and you think about, well, our kids from our district are going there, they are going to be paying their full quota of real estate taxes to our community, so it will be giving back to all of us and all the 9 taxing bodies that property lays in. So I just wanted to mention that. And our school district is very supportive of this school, and it also in that Fox Industrial Park there is another school as well. So it is allowed as a special use. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in favor of the request? You stand at the podium.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
We'll keep an eye on them. They're not
I'm neither in favor or opposed. I just had a question. I live in 118 Colonial Parkway, so
right
behind our, our yards back up to each other. Mm-hmm. Our only concern is with, like, if there's outdoor time for the students, is there plans to put up some type of a fence? We're just concerned about students coming across and, you know, from an insurance standpoint, getting hurt in our yard or something along those lines. You know, just safety concerns.
And once we get to the point of determining what perhaps outside activities we may, you know, utilize the property on a regular basis and whatnot, we will.
Okay.
Providing for us and for you, you know, so that would be absolutely what we would do.
Okay.
So whatever that code, you know, comes to be or whatever plans we need to approve for that, we would come up with it.
Okay.
I didn't catch your name, ma'am. I'm
sorry. Oh, Marissa Chuta. Sorry.
I didn't ask. My fault. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else who wishes
to time for those kind of questions back and forth? I mean, they know this is in favor, but
we might as well.
Me as well, since I'm here.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
You know, my name is John. I'm up here. I'm with Time Engineering. We're in the industrial park on 202 Beaver Street.
Yes, sir.
There. And actually, it's only a couple concerns. We talked about the other school being there. And in the industrial park, we have kids walking around on the streets. We've got semi-trucks traveling around on the streets. Mm-hmm. We've got Thursday, we got food truck cars parked down the streets with, you know, semi-trucks trying to get through all that. And so it's really an accident waiting to happen in the industrial park with, you know, and I know you said there's the outside kids walking around eventually. I don't know how far in the industrial park they will be going, But again, it's with semi-trucks and things like that happening, we need to do something about that. And the reason I came is to prevent the accident from happening here. And what I'm proposing is that you guys put sidewalks in there. Not because I need them. The industrial park does not need them. And I don't want to pay a tip. I really don't. Okay? But the best solution for this idea with kids and people from the food truck, the food pantry walking around, is you got to get something in there where they can walk off the street, because they're walking on the street with somebody going back and forth. So mine is a real safety concern. I see that right outside my window. I'm seeing people on there.
I understand your concern, sir, but the use of this is children are going to be out wandering the streets.
The other school does. The other school does.
I understand, but it's a completely different it's a completely different kind of school. Just personally, I work in a community that has this exact setup. It's not through seal or whatever, and there has not been an issue. I would know because I'm on the public safety for that area. I get your issues, and I think you have some very good points brought up. I just don't see this occupancy.
You just put two cars on the side of the street, and the small street, it's not an industrial size.
Yeah, no, I think
they probably get where they're at industrial, or should they get a wider street.
So I'm
a small street with two cars.
So let me interrupt just a second. I'm sorry. I want to speak for you, and you tell me if anything I'm saying is wrong. So when you start at 20 students, they're all going to be self-contained on the property.
Right.
They're not going to be walking through the commercial neighborhood.
Right.
And also, none of your truck and or bus and or car traffic, which is both bringing students and bringing them students, is going to be staged on the street. It's all going to be located on the property itself, correct? Okay. So in that instance...
Yeah, in that instance, I can get really serious. I didn't know what their procedure was.
You are encouraged to ask these exact questions you're asking. You're doing the right thing. Helping us ask the right questions too, but from everything they're telling me, is everything's going to be contained on site, so I don't think it's going to be an issue.
That's why I'm here now. You know, I think it's very cool. I think what you're going to do is going to be a great thing.
Yeah.
But I just want to prevent those accidents from happening because it's going to happen eventually.
You're talking to the right people because that's something we can bring up.
Like I said, the only thing I don't want a tip. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'm not going to mark you as favor or against. I'm going to say helpful.
Yeah.
I'm going to say helpful.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else who wishes to speak in favor, against, or helpful? Seeing as there are none, any questions from commissioners?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to ask one thing to the petitioner. You answered questions in your application for the special use criteria. Would you like those entered into the record?
Yes.
Jason, you're taking my stuff. All right. Okay. We will move on then. Chrissy or Jason, would you please present for PZC 2019-25, Chapter 6, Permitted Uses, text amendment?
Sure. So the city is requesting a text amendment to the B1 local business district, and that would be the only district that this text amendment affects. And even more specifically, it would only affect those properties that are located within the historic commercial core of the downtown, which we mentioned in the opening, bounded to the north by the Fox River, south by Fox Street, and then we have Mill Street and Street to the west. It's a Main Street is shown on the map.
Yeah.
So if you look on the map that's provided on page one, B1 is a light colored pink area, and there's only one block that is zoned B1. And the proposal is to allow, through the special use process, any existing building within the B1 district.
Just B1.
Just within that historic commercial core, and it would be for any existing building. So that limits the request, and the request is that you would allow multifamily or apartments on the ground floor. So right now in the B1 district, you can have up to two apartments above the first floor. And so this request, its impetus, as in the memo stated, was from the successful transfer of the old jail property to a developer, KCJ Restoration. And part of their proposal is to have a combination of commercial and residential land uses. Unfortunately, the way that the existing building, because they are staying within the confines of the existing historic jail, is separated by the original building and then an annex, which is in addition to the building. So their proposal is to have commercial on the first floor of the original jail building and then apartments above or some other commercial apartment kind of land use or office use above. And then the adjacent annex. Building annex, which is connected, would be all residential. So that's the garage space above. So this type of proposal is similar to what we've encouraged in the downtown with the recently adopted Yorkville Overlay District. And actually, if the York wants this hybrid of a zoning and form-based code is approved, and it was approved last night, it would allow this use outright in this particular building. But we move forward with this because we didn't know the status of that overlay district being adopted, and we wanted the petition to be able to move forward. But it keeps in the same vein with that there's a combination of commercial and residential. So the residential provides that needed rooftop to the commercial land use to make it a viable property. It just does it in a different way. Instead of vertically having the commercial on the first floor and the residential on the top floor, it's doing it horizontally. So also the request is to provide a threshold for commercial so that we are not losing those sales tax dollars by allowing multifamily. And the threshold is that at least 25% of the overall square footage of the building will be dedicated to a commercial land use. So with that, I have a proposal in here. I don't know if we need to go any further after this, if the city council is going to make any action on this, because again, the form-based code would allow it, but we had a scheduled public hearing, so we're going to hold it.
Are there any prohibited businesses for this arrangement?
Do you mean?
Where is it?
In this request?
Yeah.
We're not prohibiting any commercial. This is anything that's already allowed in the B1, which is your small-scale
right.
kind of pharmacy, kind of commercial or coffee shop or something like that would be allowed. So we're not prohibiting any type of businesses.
Just saying that with having a normal taxpayer with residential above, there are certain things that you don't...
Correct. You don't want to mix.
With the side-by-side, if there was going to be something in those...
So the B1 is, besides the office, is one of the most restricted business land uses.
There's really like no buildings there. There's the old jail. There's
the county.
Old man's office, who should have been torn down 10 years ago and hopefully will be torn down soon. And the house right below it, which probably will go with that, too. So really, we're only talking about the jail.
We're only talking about the jail. That's how staff structured it so that you wouldn't have any of the B1s and the other...
I read this twice and had all these zingers for Christy and Jason. She totally disarmed me in about 30 seconds, as normal. So, all right, anything else you would like to add?
That's it.
Any questions from anyone?
I have no question. Mm-hmm.
That was mine, too.
So residential, right now as it stands, it would have one space per unit, and then for a efficiency unit, and then it would be two for every one bedroom, and that would be for all of one plus bedrooms. So right now, because it's in the older part of town, it has direct access behind it to our public parking that has 22 spaces. It has street parking of about four spaces, four right in front. And then with the agreement that the city did with KCJ Restoration, we're going to be adding additional parking along the street as well.
And will the residents be allowed to park overnight in the city?
Yes.
Right. Is that normal?
It's public parking. You can't tell us.
So,
we don't have any time limits on our public parking spaces.
I know they have issues with that down
there. Really? In this area, we don't intend to have that many issues because slope down that hill in front, you have 11 to 13 parking spaces on Van Emmon Street available too for the public.
Is there anyone present or any other questions? Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor of the request? Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition to the request? Seeing as there are none, since all public testimony regarding these petitions has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony in this public hearing?
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Perez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is closed. We do not have any items in unfinished business. So, new business. Do you have anything you want to add to 2019-24?
Yeah, I'm just going to go over a couple things. Almost everything was already stated that was in the memo. In terms of parking, I just wanted to state kind of our regulations and our process behind feeling they had enough parking. They're showing 18 striped parking spaces and two handicaps on site right now, with additional spaces, a few on the side. For our zoning ordinance, we have different requirements for elementary, junior high versus high school. High schooler, you need a lot more. It's a quarter per student. We have that because typically we have people driving and parking at a high school. Since that's not going to be taking place and that's not their plan in the future ever to have that, we treated them as an elementary junior high since they're doing K through 12. So for the most part, even at the maximum amount of students that they would have more than enough parking if everybody came in parked in Dwight State, even though that's not the situation.
It's for staff.
It's basically for staff, and at most if they're...
Is that enough? Are we going to serve meals there?
We
have to do maintenance people. Is that $2?
We have a vocational program with our students, and one of the staff members that is allotted in that group that we've already spoke of would be running that and would be approved for the health department. And we bring in the food, and it's heated and served. So we don't actually make food in the kitchen. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just
worry
about working enough for everybody.
Mm-hmm. What's your maximum number of staff?
So what we're going to do, so I believe our maximum would be approximately 40. Mm-hmm. And in the initial phases, obviously with the 18 is plenty. We're going to put in permitting plans for additional spaces, yep. Which is what we have done in our three other locations.
I don't want that.
There's a plan in here
that
shows that other parking lot.
Right, I just want to make sure that with staff and whoever's coming in and all maintenance.
I want to say as well, their interior build-out, that'll be a building permit that will require our review, staff review. Just the same, if they're going to be expanding, they're going to be required to get a certain number of parking spaces, which is in our code, which will go through zoning review as well. And then on-site as well, for their zoning, they're pretty well under their land coverage. So if they ever have to have more, they do never. And then finally, I just wanted to cover the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan has this as future designated for industrial uses. We mentioned briefly before, there's already a school in this industrial zone. There was a previous change to the code to allow that. Therefore, since it's allowed in that zone, this is in line with the comprehensive plan as a type of industrial use because it's something we're promoting for the comprehensive plan and for just that land type. Other than that, I can take anybody else's comments or if you have any other questions. Okay.
What I would say is, once we determine with the build out and perhaps maybe in our heart services and what's existing and what's not, we'll provide either explanation or our plans for fencing, perhaps along the back near the industrial or the residential neighboring properties. There's been a variety of different types of approaches that we've had at our locations.
I didn't pull in there and look. Is it just scrub right now?
Yeah, in one of our locations, we do not have one. Our students are, they're supervised on a constant basis at that ratio.
You've got better supervision than my kids. 2-1.
So,
so moving forward, you know, obviously our number one priority is the safety of the students.
Right.
In the building, out of the building, anywhere. And we have prided ourselves in handling all of our situations that way, in all of our circumstances. So I have no doubt whatever is reasonable and necessary, we would provide.
Especially after that.
Yeah, well, yes, of course, right.
I mean, should there be a certain amount of students and then say a fence might be a kick in?
Can we do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or
the problem with
okay, so we could, yeah, not a certain amount of students. You could say that in order to have the special use, there has to be some sort of fence put up, correct? We've done that, like, for
the
solar.
Can you do it the other way? Say 20 students don't need a fence.
Where do you put the fence, though? You don't want a fence. You don't want a fence from Beaver Street all the way back up north, then east, then snake through the guy's property all the way up to Beaver Street again. Because there has to have traffic to be able to go through there, right? So you can't have a fence across the parking lot. You could put a fence on the back of the property on the north side going east-west between 1, 2, 3 houses. I don't know what it does for you, though. The kids can just go around the fence.
Right.
Is it not practical?
Well, what I'm curious about, too, is do you plan on incorporating... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt
you. Do you plan on incorporating a lot of outdoor activity?
No.
Is that, I have a feeling
that... I was just going to speak that, and I did not want to interrupt. Part of the reason that this building was chosen is because in the center of the building, there is a high clearance. We will have a gym inside the
school. That's what it looked like when I was playing.
Yeah, inside the school. So we don't go outside and have PE outside. Really, the students are only outside when they're coming and leaving the facility.
That's what I think.
Yes, that is how it works at the other schools.
So, I mean, at most, they're outside maybe 5 minutes. Not enough. They could go running off into somewhere.
We're not going to go. We do not have that type of activity outside. They're not chasing a kickball, you know, across. We wouldn't do that. All of those activities are inside. We do, however, access the community. So we may go to a park with some of the students. Initially, we'll be accessing. We're going to be looking into recreation. We pride ourselves in expressive therapy, so we want to make sure we're providing that. That will not be outside initially either. We will manage it, but we will be doing that at facilities that we can access in the community or adjacent communities.
Sure. That wouldn't even be here. That would be at a park or whatever.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Thank you.
What do you want to say?
What are you looking at? Keep going.
For the initial stage, we're hoping to have complete by the end of November. This year. Yes.
The students on site or no?
Yes.
Okay. Rich, what did you want to say?
I just had to Google Earth. I know their location in Lombard. I'm just looking.
Oh, Lombard. Lombard is its own existing flat.
But I'm familiar with the area, but you're in the middle of a much larger traffic industrial area.
Right.
I was just checking out.
Yeah, Lombard. We built Lombard facility from the ground up. We were originally off of Main Street in that same area, down off of Main Street, 1110. You can see that structure there, and we shared with other tenants in that building and circulated our traffic around the building. And work with whatever traffic that
they need. They've obviously made this, it's same in Romeoville. They made this work in two communities with much larger industrial.
I think ritual.
Well, sure. Because now nobody's pulling a U-turn in the middle of a parking lot with,
as a safety I'm not concerned about the safety.
I think Rich will echo me as well that if there is an existing easement on the north-south easterly run, it is as much his responsibility to make sure that your cars are getting in and out of there safely as it is yours to make sure his truck's getting out. Just so we all understand.
Pretty clear, yep. And it sounds like he'll have more use of it as well, whereas this is just dropping kids off beginning of the day, end of the day. It's not all day long.
No.
And in that wise, I think the owner now works with them closely
Sometimes you read things and you think you understand them, and then you come and give it
to them. Somebody gives you a purple, too, and you don't read it, right?
It scares me.
Don't. I was like,
All right. Any other questions, comments, concerns? All right. We do have findings of fact on this one, so may I have a motion to approve the findings of fact? Well, you know what? We should go through them, shouldn't we? The special use criteria. So we got the six items. Let's go through them quick here. Chime in, please, if you think anything is unreasonable here. First one is, this is in order to make it a special use. The establishment, maintenance, or operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. The special use will not be injurious to the use or enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity of the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood in which it is to be located. The establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding property for uses permitted in the district. I would say not at all. 15 cars a day, twice a day is not a big deal. Adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, or other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. They're existing. Adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress so designed as to minimize traffic congestion on public streets. Yes. The proposed special use is not contrary to the objectives of the official comprehensive plan of the city as amended. No, it's not. All right. May I please have a motion to approve the findings of fact and petition PZC 2019-24 Seal South Incorporated Special Use Permit.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please, ma'am.
Oh, every week.
Rich, please.
Thank you. Yeah. In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on October 9, 2019, and discussion of the findings of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council for a request for special use authorization for the operation of a proposed new commercial trade school in an existing building zoned M1 Limited Manufacturing District at 109 Beaver Street in Fox Industrial Park.
Thank you, sir. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Motion is approved. Christy, anything to add on 2019-25 Chapter 6 Permitted Uses text amendment?
No.
All right. Do any Planning and Zoning Commission members have any other questions for Christy and or Jason?
What do we have on Christmas? I lost my place here.
This is for the B1 for the jail.
Yes.
Anything? Good? Okay, good. Then please may I have a motion to approve PZC 2019-25 Chapter 6 Permitted Uses Text Amendment.
So moved. Second.
Please read it.
In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on October 9, 2019, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request to amend United City of Yorkville zoning ordinance as presented by a staff memorandum and dated September 17, 2019.
Thank you. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
And Markham?
Yes.
Motion is approved. Okay, we have one that didn't fall into the public hearing, but Christy, Jason, would you please present on PZC 2019-22 Grand Reserve Final Plat?
So I'm coughing, but the petitioner is here. Dean will be speaking, and I can fill in some blanks on this Grand Reserve Final Plat.
What was your last name, sir? I'm sorry.
Edmar, E-D-M-E-I-D-R.
Thank you.
And company names, North Branch Land Company, which is the agent for Avanti Properties, which is the current developer of Grand Reserve. Given some of the prior hearings, I'll cut this down from my usual 3 hours. very brief, folks. The original annexation agreement put together by the original developer at Neighborhood 1. Neighborhood 1 consisted primarily of what we would call age targeted or low maintenance free community known as the Colonies. Technically, Neighborhood 1 was made up of units 23, 26, and 27. The three of those units together, we're currently building, 23 was built by Andrew Pesquin and Eisenstein back in the day. We have NBR Ryan, who's building in there now. What we are doing is asking units 26 and to build units 26 and 27. Final plat engineering to build it in substantial compliance with the original annexation agreement. So in the original annexation agreement, neighborhood one in total, the three units I mentioned to you would have 290 units approved. Due to just the constraints of actual geography, when you plat units as opposed to in final engineering versus and get ready to build them, we are losing one out of both units 26 and 27 combined. It's possible as we're going to plat them, first unit 26, then unit 27, it's possible we might lose one or two more. And it's simply a condition of when you actually start lining the lines and backing it, making the geometry work. Other than that, the street layout that was shown in the concept plan from 2003 is the same. The names are the same. The engineering and preliminary plat were actually done at that time. We're essentially following the same guidelines. We're adhering to all the same guidelines that were in the original thing. NVR Ryan, who is building in unit 23 now and has will probably be just about done with that unit by next spring, plus or minus, maybe summer. Building the same stuff, same salespeople, same company. They've signed it. Agreement with Avanti to continue. Avanti sends me in to get the streets and sewer in. We've had final plat submittals to EDI. Jason and Christie also commented on those. We've already been through one round of comments and taken care of what they've needed. And our consulting engineer, Manhart Engineering, is working with EDI on the actual final engineering and things of that nature. From a quick timing perspective, the hope was to get it approved this fall, permits submitted, things of that nature in terms of sewer and water. So we do a little work over the winter and finish it up in the spring, at least a phase of it. On that note, it is phased. We're, in land development purposes, being putting only a certain amount of street in at a time. It is bonded per phase, though, per the city ordinance. So, about the only thing, to be perfectly blunt, that we'll be asking for out of the norm is with weather conditions and things like that, we might be asking for early starts on grading permits and things of that nature that we work out with engineering on a regular basis. So, any questions, you can let me know, but that's pretty much it.
What were some of the first round of comments? Anything in particular interesting?
Well, initially they did one plat to show both units, and we felt that because the annexation agreement kept referring to unit 26 and 27, it would be easier to separate those. Another thing is they requested bonding per phase. We don't do that for our ordinance, so we are required bonding per unit, so they're fine with that. They are proposing to loop the water as they go along each phase, which is helpful, so we don't have dead ends of water. And just some minor, plat comments like the certificates and,
We were missing some detail on things like that. Essentially, everything that was on the Unit 23 plat. Mm-hmm.
Just mirror on that.
Mirrored on 26 and 27.
So very
the original, I will note one quick thing on that. The original design engineer and the original party that platted it was Kawi Gudmundsen, leader. That was original. Kawi Gudmundsen, a decade or so ago, was absorbed by Manhart. So it is the same group, same engineers, different men.
All right. Okay. Anything else? Any other questions for staff?
Just a quick one, Christine.
Go ahead, Jason.
I see there's two revisions to these plans.
Yes.
Just per city comments. Were all of those taken care of?
So.
I think you might just mention those. Sorry.
Comments from September are just that they're the most recent ones. So what staff did, most of the comments from the August 13th were taken care of, and then there was a second round of comments in September. Most of those will be addressed, and so we're just putting it as a condition that they'll address.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Could I please then have a motion to approve petition PZC 2019-22 Grand Reserve Final Plat?
So moved. Second.
Would you please read the motion?
Be
In consideration of the proposed final plat of subdivision of Grand Reserve Units 26 and 27, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the plats to the City Council as presented by the petitioner and plans prepared by Manhart Consulting, LTD, dated last revised 9/3/19, subject to review comments provided by the City Engineer, EEI, Inc., dated August 13, 2019, and September 27, 2019.
Thank you, sir. We'll call a vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes. The motion is approved. Is there any additional business the city would like to update us on?
Just the 2020 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting schedule is in your packet, and there are dates for our meetings going forward. I don't think there was any of concern.
November had been changed to the third Wednesday of the month because Veterans Day was on the
second. It's a city holiday. So if you guys are okay with that, we can do a voice motion to approve.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Okay. Other than that, the three items from last time are updated. They were all approved by City Council. That includes the building code update, which goes into effect January 1, 2020. The variance for the house at 208 East Main Street was approved. And then there was the Manhart's final plat, and that was approved yesterday.
All right, great. Seeing as there's nothing further on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion to adjourn, please? All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
All those opposed say no. Meeting adjourned is 8:06. One quick thing.